This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines. And once again, the main focus of Washington on day two of the Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Appellate Court Judge Sonia Sotomayor, the president's choice to replace the retiring Supreme Court Justice David Souter. On Monday, she basically sat there and listened to senators go on and on about their views on the law and about her, and she had the chance to give a brief opening statement. But on Tuesday, it was time to face the questions, half an hour each from each member of the committee. One of the issues that came up repeatedly, especially on the Republican side, was a comment that the judge has made several times and has been recorded on a number of occasions, in which she said that she believed a wise Latina woman, through the richness of her experience, would be able to make better decisions than a white male on the bench. Today, the judge backtracked as fast as possible from those statements.
I do not permit my sympathies, personal views, or prejudices to influence the outcome of my case.
The Republican senator has questioned her on this repeatedly, especially since she made the remark several times in a span of just a few years. But Sotomayor was also ready to answer the questions asked by the Republicans, who wanted some clear answers.
Life experiences have to influence you. We're not robots to listen to evidence and don't have feelings. We have to recognize those feelings and put them aside.
Sotomayor does say, though, that personal experiences obviously have an impact on judicial rulings.
We have to judge always that we're not letting those things determine the outcome. But there are situations in which some experiences are important.
The issue of her potential bias, of course, came up in connection with the recently overturned decision she made on the issue of New Haven, Connecticut firefighters who sued the city of New Haven because they believed they had wrongly been denied promotion simply because enough minority applicants had not done well enough on the test to earn a promotion. By a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court reversed the decision made by Sotomayor and her colleagues on the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. Today, the judge said that her ruling was made based on legal precedent.
The issue was not what we would do or not do because we were following precedent, and you, when not on circuit court, are obligated on a panel to follow established circuit precedent.
Other hot-button issues she was asked to discuss included the issue of abortion, which she considers settled law, which is also an admission made by the Bush appointees from 2005 and 2006. Sotomayor also says she accepts the recent Supreme Court ruling from 2008 on the right of an individual to bear arms through the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
I understand that how important the right to bear arms is to many, many Americans. In fact, one of my godchildren is a member of the NRA.
But Republicans don't seem overly impressed, although some say they're still not sure whether they'll vote for or against her. One who appears to be unconvinced in any way is the ranking Republican on the committee, Jeff Sessions of Alabama. He says he's very concerned about a judicial nominee bringing a clear bias, racially, gender-wise, or otherwise, to the high court.
American people can't pick and choose which judge they have. They need a judge, whatever race, gender, or background they might have, to give them a fair day in court.
Sessions says Sotomayor is saying all the right things right now, but if you take a close look at her record, there's a long track record of liberal activism.
It seems to me that she does tend to have this classical liberal activist philosophy of judging, and we need to talk about that.
Sessions says if we allow a radical activist onto the high court, it could transform the highest court in the land for years to come.
We may be looking at a transformed court away from the classical American envision of an independent, unbiased judiciary that shows restraint, the one that's more activist and politically promoting political agendas.
Later in the day, South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham took issue with Sotomayor on a number of points. First of all, the speeches. He says if you look at her judicial rulings, there's not too much radicalism, although it's clear that she leans to the left. But he says the speeches disturb him greatly.
You've got a judge who has been on a circuit court for a dozen years. Some of the things trouble me, generally speaking, left to center, but within the mainstream. And you have these speeches that just blow me away. Don't become a speechwriter if this law thing doesn't work out, because these speeches really throw a wrinkle into everything. And that's what we're trying to figure out. Who are we getting here?
Senator Graham also brought up the issue of Judge Sotomayor's temperament on the bench, and he read verbatim from comments of lawyers who have argued before her Second Circuit Court of Appeals in the past.
She's a terror on the bench. She's temperamental, excitable. She seems angry. She's overly aggressive, not very judicial. She does not have a very good temperament. She abuses lawyers. She really lacks judicial temperament. She behaves in an out-of-control manner. She makes inappropriate outbursts. She is nasty to lawyers. She will attack lawyers for making an argument she does not like. She can be a bit of a bully.
For more on the Sotomayor confirmation hearings, head to RadioAmerica.org and WorldNetDaily.com. You'll catch my interview there with Mario Diaz of Concerned Women for America. He says Sotomayor did say all the right things in her opening statement on Monday, but he says if you look at her comments and her decisions over the years from the district court and appellate court bench, there's a clear contrast. And he says what she is presenting herself as before the Senate Judiciary Committee is not what America is likely to get. In other news, as President Obama says he expects the nation's unemployment rate to continue its climb, a key U.S. House member says jobless benefits could be extended. Obama told reporters at the White House, quote, "We will probably continue to see unemployment tick up for several months." The president's remarks were a reminder that employment is what's called a lagging indicator, which begins to improve in the wake of other signs of progress, such as positive developments in the financial markets. Meanwhile, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said legislators will work to extend jobless benefits, quote, "when it becomes necessary." Hoyer stated he hopes improvements from the Obama administration's massive economic stimulus program will become apparent in the coming months. There have been some rumblings that we need a second stimulus package on Capitol Hill. Republicans say it's clear that the first one didn't work, so the majority shouldn't be trusted with another one. Meanwhile, the president says he is supportive of the U.S. House health care reform measure released on Tuesday. Obama said in a statement the proposal by House Democrats would, quote, "control the skyrocketing cost of health care by rooting out waste and fraud and promoting quality and accountability," unquote. Obama also said the legislation must help reduce government deficits and promote fiscal sustainability. The proposal calls for people who earn more than $1 million annually to pay an additional 5.4% in taxes. That would put the top income tax rate for wealthy Americans at 45%. Couples making more than $350,000 per year would pay an additional 1% in taxes, while households with $500,000 incomes would pay an additional 1.5% tax. Debate and voting on this health care reform bill by the House Ways and Means Committee set to begin on Thursday. Nancy Pelosi has said she will demand a final vote in the House before the summer recess kicks in at the end of the month. President Obama also on the road today warning jobs lost in the domestic auto industry aren't likely to return, so he wants to make it easier for jobless workers to learn new skills. In a speech at Warren, Michigan, near Detroit, which has been very hard hit by this economy and has an unemployment rate north of 14%, the president called for beefed-up funding for community colleges to train workers for 21st-century jobs. Calling unemployed auto workers, quote, "the casualties of a changing economy," Obama said whenever the nation placed a priority on education, people have prospered as a result. He set a goal of 5 million additional community college graduates by 2020 to fill jobs that will require education and special training beyond high school. Overseas, the death toll continues to climb in Afghanistan as an offensive to quash insurgents in Helmand Province continues. Two U.S. Marines died on Tuesday, as well as six Ukrainians who were killed while supplying British troops. Authorities say the Ukrainians were traveling in a cargo helicopter. The Taliban has claimed it shot down the chopper. 43 foreign soldiers have been killed this month in the U.S.-British operation targeting the Taliban's prime opium-producing stronghold. The offensive is in advance of a scheduled August 20th presidential election in Afghanistan. President Obama has said insurgents in Afghanistan and Pakistan are the main threat right now to U.S. security. A plan authorized by President Bush shortly after the 9/11 attacks on America ordered the CIA to capture or kill al-Qaeda leaders around the world. The order included Osama bin Laden and his top officials, even if they were discovered in cities or countries far from war zones. It proved to be too large a task for the spy agency to ever actually implement. The New York Times reports the project became bogged down in logistical, legal, and diplomatic issues. The plan, according to current CIA Director Leon Panetta, was hidden from congressional oversight at the order of former Vice President Dick Cheney, and it was officially shut down just last month. There is a different version of this from intelligence officials who served in the Bush administration, who said that the vice president did not forbid Congress being briefed on the issue. He only said that it ought to be actually developed before Congress was briefed on the program. For more information on this controversy, the Cheney versus Congress controversy, as well as the ongoing spat between Democratic leaders and the CIA, head again to RadioAmerica.org, Dateline.RadioAmerica.org, or WorldNetDaily.com. There you can catch my interview with Michigan Congressman Mike Rogers, a member of the House Select Intelligence Committee. He'll tell us exactly what went on in those briefings, why he believes Democratic leaders are making such a public case against the CIA during the Bush administration, and he'll explain in detail why this is such a devastating issue for the morale of our intelligence community. We'll also get an update from the congressman on a story he broke last month concerning the Obama administration's order to have Miranda rights read to terrorists apprehended in Afghanistan. Quickly back to the economy, the head of President Obama's auto task force is leaving his post. Stephen Ratner, who oversaw the bankruptcy reorganizations at General Motors and Chrysler, is returning to private life in New York. The announcement of his resignation came Monday from Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. Ratner's move comes at a time when he and his former firm have been linked to a corruption probe into the pensions industry spearheaded by New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo. A source close to Ratner says he doesn't plan on rejoining his former firm, which is called Quadrangle. And it was a lackluster day on Wall Street as positive quarterly earnings were offset by investor worries about continued weak consumer spending. Dow Jones was 28 points higher at 8359. The S&P 500 gained 5 points to 906. The NASDAQ up 7 points to 1800. Oil prices settled 17 cents lower at $59.52 per barrel. That's a look at Tuesday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.